The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the 16th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. From that time on, after Peter had confessed that Jesus was the Messiah, Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you. But Jesus turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Did anyone happen to catch in the news this past week the team from El Segundo, California that won the Little League World Series? Did you catch that news clip? Well, after giving up a four-run lead in the fifth, 12-year-old Luis Lapa from El Segundo stepped up to the plate in the bottom of the sixth and hit a leadoff home run to lead his team to victory. Luis finished the tournament with 5 homers, the most of any player. And afterwards, a reporter asked Luis how he felt. The kid said, this is a unique feeling that maybe only 5 or less people experience in their lifetime. I feel great. It's hard to beat this feeling. I don't know what would make me feel happier. I wonder if Simon Peter felt a similar exhilaration when Jesus called him blessed and entrusted him with the keys of the kingdom. You may recall Peter's response from last week's gospel when Jesus asked his disciples, but who do you say that I am? And Peter boldly professed, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Only now, in today's gospel, we heard that soon after that shining moment in Peter's life, he was neither the star pupil nor the hometown hero. It was as if the bases were loaded, and rather than get up to the plate and hit the ball out of the park, the team's best hitter went down swinging. Apparently, for Peter, this euphoric feeling didn't last very long. Because today, as we continue reading from chapter 16, we hear how Jesus tells his disciples that he must undergo great suffering, be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter rebuked Jesus, saying, God forbid it, Lord. And in that moment, we heard Jesus say, get behind me, Satan. Peter, the rock, has now become a stumbling block for setting his mind on human things rather than divine things. This scene harkens back to the time when Jesus himself went head to head with Satan. Famished from his 40 days in the wilderness, the devil tempts Jesus to set his mind on human things, not on divine. Satan wants Jesus to prove that he is the Son of God. He attempts to lure Jesus away from his mission as God's anointed one with a trifecta of temptations and false hope. Turn these stones to bread. Leap off the pinnacle of the temple. Bow down and worship me, and I will give you all the kingdoms of the world. But Jesus would have none of it. Fixated on the mission that lay before him, he set his mind not only on divine things, but on the divine, on God. And now today, as soon as Peter the Rock heard that Jesus say, I must undergo great suffering, be killed, and on the third day be raised, Peter says, God forbid it, Lord. This must not happen to you. For me, last week's commendation of Peter and this week's condemnation brought to mind an old Peanuts cartoon strip. In the first frame of the cartoon, Charlie Brown waves to Lucy and says, so long, Lucy, I'll see you tomorrow. And Lucy responds, okay. In the next frame, Lucy watches as Charlie Brown walks away and she sighs, good old Charlie Brown. In the third frame, you see loudmouth Lucy shout after Charlie Brown, you blockhead! Finally, Lucy turns to walk away and remarks to herself, there's a fine line between love and hate. Good old Charlie Brown, you blockhead. Lucy may be right about that fine line between love and hate, and dare I say, between faith and doubt. One minute, Peter has his eyes fixed on Jesus and finds himself walking on water, but the second he takes his eyes off of Jesus, he begins to sink like a rock. In one breath, Peter confesses Jesus is the Messiah, Son of the living God. Later, he's going to deny ever knowing him. One moment, Peter says he's willing to follow Jesus anywhere, and in the next, he seems interested in nothing more than saving his own skin. Likewise, one moment, Jesus blesses Simon Peter and calls him a rock, and the next moment, Jesus calls him a stumbling block. Good old Peter, you blockhead. One moment he's a building block, the next a stumbling block. It's safe to say it was Peter's love for Jesus, not hate, that caused him to call into question Jesus' passion prediction. Peter didn't want Jesus, the Messiah, to become the suffering servant. The scandal of the cross was not what Peter was expecting. Not from Jesus. Undergo great suffering, be killed, and on the third day be raised from the dead. That concept was incomprehensible in Peter's mind, and certainly not his idea of a Messiah. The Messiah should be strong, not weak. Powerful, not submissive. Peter's outburst, even if born of love, was an attempt to circumvent the will of God. This is a danger for us as well. What may still be incomprehensible for us in our minds, coupled with our futile attempts to circumvent the will of God, that's not only arrogant, it can become a stumbling block for ourselves, for one another, for our families, for our friends. A stumbling block that causes ourselves or others to lose faith. Setting our minds on human things rather than divine things becomes an obstacle. For clearly, God's ways are not always our ways, nor are our ways necessarily God's ways. And yet we must be careful not to point to Peter as if he's the problem, or anyone else for that matter. We must point to God in Jesus Christ, the Word made flesh, the one who took on human form, humbled himself, and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. There is a fine line between humanity's hatred, which was overcome by God's greatest sign of love for humanity and for all of creation. None of us will ever know the thrill of hitting the home run that wins the Little League World Series. Not like Lewis. We may never know the adrenaline rush that comes from scoring the winning touchdown, or a touchdown in a blowout game like yesterday's. No, our euphoria comes from having already been redeemed by Jesus the Messiah, Son of the living God, by trusting in that promise that God loves us no matter what, that God's love will conquer all evil. God loves you and me and all people in all places, in all times. God loves all of creation. And Jesus going to the cross shows us that love in the most profound way. Because in that cross, we have life. Abundant life. Now and forever. Thanks be to God. Amen.